This hour is being sponsored by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency? Call the plumbing professionals available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
Is everything okay with DJ and Caleb?
We both was frustrated after that missed touchdown. And now we're going to go to Caleb way and we're going
to
get all right.
Listen to me very carefully. There are three ways of doing things around here. The right way, the wrong way, and the way that I do it.
I just had a vision. You know all those times you look at an NFL offense, say it's Atlanta last night, when a team runs the ball successfully and they have viable people at wide receiver, everybody ends up getting theirs.
Swift finally tackled, 42 yards.
Kenny, what did I tell you about DeAndre Swift?
Williams throws, it is caught. The tight end, Cole Kmet. Williams play fake, now throws, wide open, it's DJ Moore. The former Carolina Panther is in for a Bears touchdown.
We got everybody involved in the passing game, so I think that's really good to be able to distribute that, play point guard and be able to do that. Hard to defend that way.
I think the Bears figured something out last week, and I think if they stick to some of the concepts that they have found, they're going to have a very productive week again, and this should be the beginning for a good offensive run, the starting point of a really good functional NFL offense.
Williams, Moore, end zone, he's got it, touchdown!
That was a beautiful ball.
It was just a dot.
You know, I've been wanting to hit one of those. DJ is such a special player, and y'all saw it today. Felt really good, we were super excited. We get to the sideline, we're both like, finally.
Like you had added energy after you scored that.
I had a lot of energy, you know why? Because we wasn't hoping on that play, and we finally connected on it between me and Caleb.
I just had a vision.
Yo, son, I had crazy vision. Check it out, boom.
Caleb Williams, Jonathan, threw for over 300 yards as he continues his very steady progress, getting better and better each week.
Make sure you're connected, the writing's on the wall. But if your mind's neglected, stumble, you might fall.
Awesome. The Bears.
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
How about it? It's a perfect weather, sunny day, Monday, and the Bears played a big role in that. You want to talk about controlling the weather? When the Bears win,
thank you, Marjorie.
Everything is better.
Thank you, Marjorie Taylor Greene.
It is better when the Bears win. Mondays are better when the Bears win.
Good joke Saturday night on Saturday Night Live from Michael Shea. He's like, well, I will say it's been a lovely Rosh Hashanah weekend, you know?
It has.
It has been.
It has, and this week is supposed to be really good, too. So we are glad that you are here with us. It is the Spiegel and Holmes show. We got ourselves a show for you today. Kurt Warner.
Fire, man!
You got to be careful. So, Speaks, did you know what happened?
No, you guys are texting me. I'm at the game. You guys are texting me like effing fireman. I'm like, what is that? Is there a fireman here?
So what happened was is that Caleb was up at the line of scrimmage and he was changing something. I don't know for sure what. And then Coleman Shelton was like, hey, man, they're getting ready to blitz.
Yeah. And those two positions, center and quarterback, Olin calls them the knowledge acquisition positions. Like you got to be learning stuff and sharing stuff and communicating it. And Coleman Shelton is screaming at
fire, man.
Yeah, like
let's instead of what you're doing, let's recognize that we've got a blitz coming and let's figure this whole thing out.
Oh God,
hear that communication, to hear him swearing at him, that wasn't my style to swear it.
I'm sorry, what?
Listen, bless are the storytellers, so we tell the story.
I'm sorry, Owen, but I've been in those rooms. I've seen them. I've got examples.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's very much Olin's style, I think.
A good time was had yesterday with Olin Kreutz and Patrick Manley at Wonderverse in Oak Brook. That place is amazing. But we had a wonderful time talking ball.
That's awesome.
We'll get more into it because we have a whole segment dedicated for us talking about our different points of views from yesterday, because Spiegs was at Soldier Field with the people yesterday.
Man, I was feeling the energy, man. The energy inside that place on third downs on defense when everybody's rising up and you're hoping that the Bears defense shuts them down. And then there was a fourth down, which they gave up. But still, it's like it was jarring. I had forgotten what that feels like. Really, I haven't been to a regular season game in a long, long, long time. To really feel that with an excited fan base, and then to high-five strangers at the ballpark, let's go!
Yeah, it's cool. And you had a perfect day for it. Gorgeous. Other than the wind. The wind was problematic yesterday.
Didn't even register at the stadium that it was an issue. It really didn't. Like, you didn't know unless you're, like, following along. And when they're all talking about it after the game that, like, the wind was a big deal, it was like, really? Didn't even realize. But a texter says, by the way, on that Coleman Shelton, it's effing fire, man, that it's giving him vibes from Bill Aliens. Paxton.
Yeah.
You're like, game over, man, game over.
Well, he understands what's getting ready to happen, and I appreciate him telling the quarterback, going, hey, pay attention now, like, there's stuff going on over here that you might want to realize is going on.
But we got a guy who seems to be realizing the stuff. You mentioned Kurt Warner. We have Jalen Johnson as well, which is going to be awesome. Jalen was great to watch yesterday, and it will be interesting to talk to him. Mark Grody as well. But the fact that Caleb is noticing all that stuff is part of what you're seeing from him, isn't
it? The growth we're seeing from Caleb Williams from week to week. And when we started this show, you know, I was telling you how I feel like he's really close to a breakthrough. I don't know if I want to classify yesterday as that, although one could. All I see is a quarterback who's getting better. All I see is a quarterback who is being given more autonomy and earning it. It's different from a guy that you're just throwing out there and say, hey, do the thing. When I'm watching Caleb Williams play quarterback right now, I feel like the confidence is oozing through the television. With success after success for him, he gains even more confidence. If you look at, and shout out to Fox, because the mic'd up portion of yesterday was great. Their live mics are awesome, and you can hear a lot of stuff. You're seeing him be in command of the offense. He's not a passenger.
Mm-hmm.
And there are still going to be bumps along the way, especially when he plays better teams. We can't say enough that this Carolina Panthers team is not very good. But just when you see a guy that looks like he's in complete command of an offense, and then you see the offense function as if he is in command of it, I don't know how you can't walk away from yesterday's game. Again, the caveat for who the opponent is, you can't walk away from yesterday's game and go, that guy's not getting better.
Oh, yeah, no, I think it's absolutely true. I mean, the numbers are there, which is fun and is the shorthand, but if you're watching, you see him getting to the line early, comfortably, in a no-huddle offense all day long in the NFL, and checking, you know, changing from either a pass play to a run play, or a run play to a pass play, or maybe it's from one run play to another, or one pass play to another, based on what he sees. Doing everything that he's supposed to do in terms of all the pre-snap stuff, and it doesn't look panicked. They are cutting down on the pre-snap penalties, on the pre-snap chaos. And then when it's time to execute, that guy is throwing some very accurate stuff. And down the field, too. Down the field, too.
That ball to DJ Moore in the end zone is perfectly placed.
That whole play, that second DJ touchdown where, and you heard DJ talking about it in Tanny's awesome open, and that play will come up in our conversation with Kurt Warner for sure, but Caleb looks the safety away, and DJ knows it, so he adjusts his routes. He adjusts his route to get to the spot, and then he knows that Caleb's going to throw a dot, and Caleb throws the dot. The way that they talked about it, how DJ adjusted after he saw the safety move because Caleb did what he did, I'm thinking to myself, all right, this is both unbelievably exciting because it's next-level football, and it's also relief because it's the basics of what you have to do in the NFL. It's like, if you can't do that kind of stuff, you can't be a great team. And you cannot be a great offense.
Then you also have him having time to make the throw, which is key. The placement of the throw, DJ reacting to it, DJ getting all the opportunities. The other thing to take away from Caleb's performance inside of this game is – if you're someone that digs on arm angle, you got to see them all. You got to see over the top. You got to see three quarters. You got to see him whip a ball around a defender. And you got to see him do that, do those throws with pace. You talk about his arm strength.
Oh, man.
It was very much on display in yesterday's game.
There was a play where he scrambled right, and then he hit DJ for what ended up being, I think it was a 23-yard catch and run. It was off play action, by the way, as a lot of the big plays yesterday were off play action. It's where Caleb scrambled to the right, and the linebacker was there and was like, he's not going to throw this. I think Vilma even talks about it in the TV version.
And like, he whips the ball right past the linebacker. They're like, wait, what?
What, he did make that throw?
Yeah.
And then he turns around, and there it went. I mean, that one was off play action. The second Moore touchdown that we're talking about, the beautiful deep shot, that's off. I think that one's off play action. And I know for sure the 34-yard touchdown on the right side, the first touchdown to DJ Moore, that's off play action. Folks, running the ball matters.
Running helps. They could still be better at running the ball.
For sure, but the fact that you have to respect it, and it happens. And it's like one doesn't happen without the other on an NFL offense. And I'm like, you know, it felt like in the first couple of games, they thought they could just line up with those weapons and do it. It all has to work together. And we've been talking about that for a few weeks now, whether it's been Sean McVay talking about NFL offense and the way that it progresses, you know, whether it's been Jalen Johnson talking about
how it looks like art when it's done correctly.
Yes, yes. It's and I thought Shane Waldron had a very capable and strong offensive coordinator day. Not a perfect day, and it can't be said enough just how bad the Panthers are with no leaders of consequence on that defense. Everybody who's good on that defense is basically hurting out for the year, except J.C. Horn, and he's a little crazy.
The linebackers, I think, had, like, we were talking about it on pregame, like, they have a combined, like, 200 plays in the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, that's something that you have to calibrate here, is that it was a bad opponent. But here's my thing.
You got to take advantage of that, though. That's
whenever
your opportunity.
Whenever people complain about a bad opponent, I always say, would you rather have them lost? Because I always feel that winning buys you time. Winning buys you time to get stuff right. And this is a confidence builder. It's a win. It's an NFC win. It's a game that you did not want to see the Bears lose, especially with them going to London. And now they've got an opportunity to feel great going into the bye if they can take care of business in London. But that's for Wednesday when we turn the page.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We might not be able to wait because they're traveling. You know, there's traveling and there's travel things to think about.
Yeah, that's
and all
true.
Of that.
And the Bears are leaving tonight. They're leaving tonight
that's
for
crazy.
London.
That's crazy.
It's a choice. And it'll be interesting to see how it plays out, because it didn't seem like, in listening to Matt Eberflus today, that he's really for this being a tour. Like, he is looking at this as a business trip.
Sure, that's what we got to think about it. But, man, like, we have a lot of experience. The Cubs blamed the London trip for their falling apart in 2023, or at least going on a bad run thereafter. I want to know if the Bears are going to, like the Cubs, get to see Westminster Abbey, and if Willie Harris is going with them so he can notice the bodies that are buried under those floors.
It didn't seem like Flus was interested in doing any of that stuff.
There's some bodies under that floor, brother.
Yeah, true. There are. Yeah, there are. He's right. Willie was right. Who's going to be our Willie Harris in the Bears traveling party on the London trip? Shane will work on it. We need somebody. Check in, tell us London things. You guys going to Churchill's Bunkers? Heard that's a great place to go.
And Church's Chicken. But that's a whole different thing going on here for sure. But when we come back, we need to talk about winning and learning how to win. Speaks, there was a moment yesterday, and I wasn't sure how it was going to go when I presented it to Olin and Patrick. It went way better than I expected. And we've got some introspection from Olin that I think that you're going to enjoy. And it has to do with learning to win in the NFL. And we can talk about whether or not the Bears are at that place yet. We'll do that next. He's Spiegel. I'm Holmes. This is Spiegel and Holmes here with you until 6, talking Bears on the Score.
Spiegel and Holmes Show Flashback.
It is divisional playoff weekend around the NFL. And in this NFC matchup, the Carolina Panthers and the Chicago Bears. DeLong is going to shoot for Smith. Down the field, Smith has another. Thompson fell down, and Smith was left alone. Grossman throws, the pass incomplete. There are no flags on the field, and the Carolina Panthers just stamped their ticket to Seattle.
Great job by Tanny finding the 2005 playoff game between the Bears and the Carolina Panthers, which sparked this discussion. It's Spiegel and Holmes. We are here with you until 6 o'clock. You will hear from Kurt Warner at 3, so don't go anywhere.
Yeah, a lot of people wondering whether Kurt Warner enjoyed Caleb Williams or not yesterday. We will find out.
We'll find out together. So yesterday...
Okay, well, that's not a thing.
It is a thing.
It is, Kurt.
It's totally a thing.
Yeah, just because he went to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, you're really good at quarterbacking. You got great hair.
Yeah, and he's like an incredible story, and they made movies and wrote books about him.
Yeah, and he like gives money to charity and everything.
Et cetera.
Et cetera, et cetera. So I'm working with Patrick and Olin yesterday, and because it was Carolina, I was like, I need to get some Carolina perspective. So I listened to Jake DeLome's podcast that he does with Jordan Gross. And inside of there, he talked about how big a deal it was to win that playoff game against the Bears. So I asked Robbie to like bring that back for me. And so we brought it back. Well, it wasn't you. It was Alex, because you were post-game. Alex, to bring it back for me yesterday.
This is the Steve Smith game?
Yeah, the Steve Smith game where he goes sliding down the goalposts, like that sort of thing. It's Marcus Thompson, right? That was the corner on those plays where he kept getting burned. And I wasn't sure how Olin and Patrick were going to react to it. The reaction that I got from them on the concept of learning how to win was phenomenal.
It's an interesting game to bring up because I don't know how Pat feels, but I think that was me and Pat's, our eighth year, ninth year?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, it was eighth or ninth year. And I thought that year, Lawrence, was the first time I learned how to win games. Learn how to win football games through the year, get to the playoffs. We got to the playoffs, we lost.
What does that mean, learning to win a game?
There's working on your fundamentals. There's training all offseason, right? There's doing up. And then there's what does it take to win this football game? What do we have to do as a team? What is my role within the team to win this game? And then as leaders, as captains, can you convince everybody?
Yep.
This is how we win this game now. Like, don't try to do anything else. Do this. And then you have to, like, see the critical moments in the game. What am I going to have to do in the critical moment in the game? And then you have to, like, recognize when the moment is actually happening. Right? When your team gets to that point. Like we were in 2006 when we were, I don't know, we're like 15-3 in every game we played in. You go out there and you're like, they're going to beat themselves. More teams beat themselves in the NFL than actually get beat. Right? That's why, like, I heard Bill Belichick talk one day at a coaching clinic, and he said there's only like 3 or 4 teams we worry about in the NFL. What he was saying was there's only 3 or 4 coaches who know how to win games.
Right.
That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
Right? There's only 3 or 4 coaches that know how to coach during the week to win games. So I don't know how you felt, Pat. But I felt that year, that game, going into that game and saying, oh, man.
I think like, that's why I was so disappointed.
Yeah, everything has to be right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's why, because we knew how to win. We knew how to get through it and win. We didn't have, you know, we had Kyle Orton as a rookie quarterback. The offense wasn't up to, you know, speed as the defense. But, yeah, you're right. We learned how to win. And I think that's why I was so disappointed.
See, that's really good stuff. Olin talking about what is my role in the team concept to do what has to be done? And your role that week in the team concept to try and win needs to be divorced from whatever you think you are as a player, whatever your big old concept is of your career and what you're supposed to do. It has to be divorced from this arc of your life and where, you know, you want to go and where you've been and all of that. Shut up. Who cares? And it's really the same thing that Jalen told us 2 weeks ago about putting your ego aside, on a given play, on a in a given a given game plan during the week. And that's important stuff. And I think if you have never been on a team, sometimes you can fall prey to what our guy Boomer Esiason likes to call the Narpian level of thinking, the non-athletic regular person level of thinking. And if you talk about it in a demeaning and condescending way, then people will blow up on you. But if you talk about it in a realistic way of like, no, sometimes it's not about how good you are. And if you're good, it doesn't matter if you're not just doing the right effing thing. For a quarterback, last week it meant Caleb checking down.
100%.
Okay, so you get, what do you get, 160 yards passing? That looks like ass on a fantasy team. Who cares?
But they won.
They won. So it's like, but every different player, for DJ Moore in the first month of the season, run some bubbles, be a decoy. If that's what they're asking you to do, that's what you got to do.
But you can't get lost. Like, because we're going to need you. There are going to be days where you're the guy getting the bulk of the targets. And yesterday was one of those days.
For sure. But there was a moment yesterday where DJ Moore ran a deep route and took two people with him. And I think that's when Caleb went underneath to Gerald Everett for 9 yards. And Everett made a move and they ended up getting the 11 that they needed on a 3rd and 11. And DJ Moore was seen coming back from running the deep route on a replay, pumping his fist, knowing full well that him just going deep and taking a couple people with him opened things up. Do whatever the hell the team needs you to do. Put your ego aside.
It was really great for me because obviously, like, I covered those teams. So I was used to, like, talking to those guys about some of this stuff. Hearing Olin talk about leadership was fascinating because he went on to talk about, like, how he started to look at the locker room a little differently too, and you try to figure out who needs what from you, and you have to figure out that it was funny. He said, "You in other realms of business, in other realms of life, you don't need the knuckleheads. If someone's a knucklehead, you can tell them to move on. Not in an NFL locker room. You've got to figure out how to get the knuckleheads to come along with you for the ride."
I love it.
And him breaking it down like that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. You can't demean the knuckleheads because you need them.
You have to get them to where everyone else is.
Yeah,
that was great when he said that it's easy to lead those who like want to do the right thing and want to be led, but try leading the ones who don't.
That's right.
That's what true leadership is, leading those guys too.
Also, like the story that he told was funny because I knew the person that he was talking about, made it even funnier. He was saying, you know, sometimes you know there's a guy who misses practice and you kind of have to go to their house.
Is he opening a barbecue restaurant?
No. No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But I'll tell you about it a little bit during the break.
But yeah, no, it makes all the sense in the world. And I'm with you, man. I can't get enough of that stuff. And maybe it's because like we're of a certain age and we kind of know how the stuff works sometimes.
Sometimes. They told me some stuff yesterday that I didn't know about the next year's team that – now has completely changed the way that I look back.
Oh, that's interesting. That's really interesting.
At some point we can talk about that too, but
yeah, well, I love it. Well, there's some stuff that people got to know about this game and this week that the Bears are just coming out of in terms of the leadership council. Now we're going to get to it after Kurt Warner, because it's really, because you dream of this leadership council doing some of the stuff that, like Olin was talking about, and reaching everybody, and we got a little glimpse of it this week.
And I know that there are tons of Bears fans that want to hear whether or not Kurt Warner enjoyed Caleb Williams' performance. Don't worry, that is addressed next here on The Score.